life is more than school, life is more than homework, life is more than extracurriculars, life is more than your resume. There's more to life than what you do for other people's expectations. And that's the part I want to live more. I don't want to live my life like in a cubicle, or, like something like that, like working for someone else, or like doing something for like because society wants me to do it. I want to do something because I want to do it. So what I've learned is living authentically, like always being my authentic self, and like always staying true to what I want to do. I was staying true to my heart. So like if I feel like something I'm doing is like I don't want to do it, then I don't do it anymore. Or if I feel like if I'm doing it for my resume too much, I stop doing it. Because I don't want to do things for other people's expectations. I want to do them because they make me happy.
Hi everyone, this is Isha and welcome to episode 3 of Carpool on Gratitude and the Inner Child. Before we get started, I wanted to say a couple things. First off, I wanted to fully introduce myself. Hi, my name is Isha. I'm currently a sophomore at Emory University on the pre-med track, and I'm hoping to major in neuroscience and behavioral biology with a minor in economics. I'm really passionate about mental health awareness and psychology as well, and so far, I've really enjoyed how this podcast has allowed me to explore these ideas in a unique way. I love talking to people and learning more about their perspective on life, and I feel like I've already learned so much from each of my guests on this podcast, so I'm so excited to see where this goes. Also, I wanted to thank everyone for the awesome feedback that I've gotten. I'm always looking for more suggestions and ideas, so if you have anything to say about this podcast, literally anything, please let me know. Finally, I also wanted to talk about the fact that this podcast episode is actually a bit late. I usually try to release an episode every Saturday. However, this week has been a really hectic one because I've been road tripping a lot and my classes actually just started last week. As I was finishing up this episode, I was thinking about this and I was reminded of how stressful and busy our school year can get. I know that a lot of students have already started classes, like me, or are just about to. And I wanted to say that I think it's important to realize that it's really easy to put yourself in a box and start to only care about your grades or your test scores. This happens to me, especially when I get stressed about academics, usually during testing season. Although these are super important to your life right now, and it's good to give them attention, I think it's also important to remember that we're more than numbers, and that our life goes beyond the essays that we're writing or the practice quizzes that we're completing for our classes. I think it's important to remember to step out of our boxes sometimes and take in the other aspects of life that are around us. Whether that means taking time to have fun with your friends, watching Netflix, or even on a bigger picture, finding a way to reconnect with your creativity, I think these are all really great ways to show ourselves some love and stay grounded. This is a big theme that we touch upon in this episode. With that, I'm really excited to introduce you guys to the guest for this episode, Prasanna Kaur, who's a senior at Emory University and the creative behind Playground. PK hosts a podcast every week, along with many other cool initiatives that you can find on Instagram at playground.pk.
Hi, PK. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Isha?
I'm pretty good. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're doing right now.
Well, that's a big question. To start off with, I'm a rising senior at Emory University, and right now I'm back at Emory University because I'm in RA training, so I'm back on campus, and I just spent the summer at home in Dallas, Texas, so that's where I am right now, yeah.
What are you majoring in at Emory?
Okay, so I am a pre-med student at Emory. I'm double majoring in neuroscience and behavioral biology and interdisciplinary studies. And for my ideas major, I'm looking at the law of attraction. The law of attraction states that like if you think positive thoughts, positive things will come to you. And if you think negative thoughts, negative things will come to you. It's like very spiritual and very like metaphysical. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find evidence for this concept using Buddhism and neuroscience. So that's like my honors thesis in the ideas major. And then I'm doing MBB because I love neuroscience. So I'm adding on to that too, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I actually want to be an NBV major, so that's pretty inspiring to see that it can be done like that. So I guess going into playground and you starting that, it sounds like there's some connection between your interests in NBB and this idea of the law of attraction and this initiative that you've started. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So regarding playground, when I came, I'm going to start back freshman year of college. So when I came to college at Emory, I didn't have a very good first semester or like second semester either. It was very bumpy. My mental health was like on a pretty low. I was very insecure and like I was like at a really like bottom in my life trajectory kind of thing. So when I came back home for winter break freshman year, I decided I wanted to change how I looked at my life. I wanted to change and like become like better. I wanted to like transform myself. So I think I Googled something very stupid, like how to change your life or something like that. And I came across an article on medium.com. So I read this article and like I got sucked into like reading all these different articles on medium.com. And this is where like I first started learning about personal development, like transformation, like inner growth and like the growth mindset, all this kind of stuff. I started reading every single day really. And that winter break, I read an article at least once a day, and then I had an index card, and then I wrote down what I learned from the article on the index card. So I still have those index cards, and I have like 100 of them. So like I started doing winter break, and I went through like second semester of college, freshman year, second semester, because I really wanted to like change how I looked at life. So that's when I started doing like, that's when I first had got interest in personal development. Mm. And around this time, So that's when I first started getting interested in personal development, and I wrote my own article on medium.com called 12 Personal Growth Strategies You Can Use to Thrive in College. So I wrote that, and I was getting a feel of it, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And then over the summer, I went to Argentina for a study abroad program, and like I kind of forgot about this, and like enjoyed my time in Argentina, like started experiencing life and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I came back sophomore year, and then nothing really happened sophomore year until sophomore year summer. So like July 2019 is when I got the idea for Playground. I got the idea of doing a podcast. So during that summer, like, so I've been doing personal development like throughout this time, and like I'm still reading books and everything. But during the summer, I was at Emory University doing research at Yerkes National Primate Research Center.
Yeah.
And while I was doing research there, I was living in an apartment with my friends, like off campus. And that was like, the people I was doing research with were like adults. They were like 20, 30, like adult people doing like in the real world, like doing jobs and everything. And I felt a disconnect. Like I felt like I came to a realization during that summer, because my time at Emory during the summer was extremely different from the time I was at Emory during my freshman and sophomore year, because during the school year, I was surrounded by students, I was surrounded by pre-med students, I was surrounded by like business students, and I was surrounded by like the idea of like we need to go to these classes, we need to get an A, we need to get a photo, we need to like study, like late nights, extracurriculars, we need to make a resume look good, and like we had to like hustle. Yeah. But when I came to the real world, and like when I started having conversations with like my research colleagues, I realized like we started having deep conversations. I started asking them deep questions, and then it kind of hit me that like these individuals, they have a life story as complicated as my own life story. And I saw that because I was able to connect to them on a deep level, because they were not my students. Like they were not my colleagues. I mean, they were not like students like me. They were like adults, and they had like life experience. So, and then I realized that at the same time, like how I had like my own life experiences, like my own trajectory, my own transformations, every single student in like in my biochemistry class, in my human physiology class, like in my classes at Emory also have these experiences. Mm-hmm. But we never get to ask them these questions. We never get to have like these deep conversations, because we're always at a surface level most of the time. Like, mm-hmm. hey, like what did you get for this homework problem? Like how do you do this homework? Like that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I wanted to like pop the Emory bubble, because I feel like every time I come to Emory, I feel like I'm in a bubble, like I'm in a safe community, like just like it's like a little city, little town. I wanted to pop that bubble and like make us like get Emory to become more vulnerable with like their own insecurities, like with their own transformations. So that's, and around this time, Like, I knew, like, I love, like, talking. I love, like, storytelling. I love, like, having deep conversations like we're having right now. And so the only platform, like, the only idea that I could have these conversations through was a podcast. So, like, July 2019, I decided to do a podcast based off of this. And I didn't call it Playground back then. Back then, it was, so I was, like, it was called Sonder, S-O-N-D-E-R. And sandal, it's a very obscure word. And the definition of sandal is, it's the realization, like if you're like in a New York subway, it's the realization that every single person on that subway has a complicated life story like you do. And like that realization is what sandal is. And that's what I wanted like the premise of my podcast to be, like understanding like how each individual around us has this complicated life story. And then while I was like dabbling with this idea during the first semester of junior year, I realized that something that I really connected with was my inner child. I love having fun. I love playing. I love like the fun side of life. And I felt like at college and everything, it's like too serious. So I wanted to like bring that fun back. So that's when I started having the idea of like doing something called Playground, or like something like I wanted like the world to be a playground kind of thing. So that's when I had the idea of doing Playground. And that's also when I had the idea like with my model, like rediscover your inner child. Like that's like, so Sonder was the original idea. Like I wanted to have conversations and like show other people like everyone has a life story. And that slowly evolved into having conversations about people's childhoods and then how their childhood interests evolved throughout time. So it was like a very rough path from like how it came from like having, oh, I want to do a podcast, to what it is now. But it was like I had mentorship too. So when I decided I wanted to do a podcast, I went to my IDS professors, so interdisciplinary studies professors, mm-hmm. and they gave me like mentors. And so I had the Emory Oval History Project. The guy who like created it, he was my mentor for the podcast. So like he told me to like read these documents about like how to do an interview, how to ask questions. So I started reading those documents throughout winter break. And then I did some practice interviews, some mock interviews in January, February. And then I was going to launch like after spring break in March. And then that's when the pandemic happened. So mm-hmm. like, that's when we got kicked out of Emory. So when we got kicked out, I went back home and I was like, how am I going to do these interviews now? So I founded Zoom. Like I discovered Zoom and I realized I could do these interviews over Zoom. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened then. And I started released my like Playground idea in April actually, and then I started releasing episodes since April till now. So that's like the trajectory of how I had the idea of the podcast and how it came to be.
Wow, that's so cool. That takes a lot of dedication, I feel like. That's amazing. How did you stay motivated to continue working on this project through all that time?
That's a good question. So it's been about 1 year since I've had the inception of this idea and from where to what it is now. And for me, this is like a creative project. And because it's a creative project, I have fun doing it. Like it gives me energy. It's a good way to put it. Like whenever I have conversations for the podcast, or whenever like I work on the promo graphics or like post something on Instagram and like look for things to post onto Instagram, I have fun. I feel like a little child. So like I have fun and it gives me energy. Like I'm looking forward to do this. Like I would do this like for 24/7 if I had a chance to. So that's the kind of thing. Like it's so fun. It doesn't feel like work. At times when I needed motivation is when I started looking at numbers, like how many episodes, how many plays each episode is getting, or like how my statistics doing. So that's when I started to get like demotivated at the very beginning, but then I decided not to look at the numbers and focus on like the output of the content, like the conversations I'm having, because I knew like the conversations that I was having were like meaningful and like the guests loved it too. The guests found the conversations meaningful. So I knew that what I'm doing was authentic. So once I started like focusing my energy towards like the content rather than like the statistics and the numbers, I got more motivated and like more enthusiastic to do more. But like whenever I looked at the numbers or the statistics, I would get like less motivated. So when like changing perspective would be like how I would get more motivated. Yeah.
Interesting. Do you see yourself spending more and more time doing this podcast and maybe turning it into something bigger in the future? And I guess this initiative as a whole.
So yes, I do. So For listeners who are not like familiar with the podcast, I have an Instagram account called Craig_PK and the podcast. So I've been releasing 2 episodes every week throughout the summer, more or less. And once we get to the school year, I'm hoping to release 2 episodes a week too, but we'll see. I may break it down to just one because of school and everything, and I might get busy. But what I'm trying to create really is like a playground brand. So like with the motto rediscovery within a child, and like under the playground umbrella, I wanted to do a podcast, a newsletter, and then like some live sessions, like Instagram live stuff. And then eventually I wanted to like build the brand for itself. So like the podcast would be a part of it. And like, if I have a new idea, then I could just integrate it into the playground brand and like create something else. So that's what I did with a newsletter. I just started it like last week. So like every Sunday, I'm like writing it because I love writing too. So this is a good way for me, like a good way for me to like practice that skill. So like I write like a little message in an email, and I can send it to people like a newsletter every Sunday morning. And then the podcast, I love having conversations, so I do the podcast for that. And then for the lives, I just have, because I have fun with that too, because I want to practice my public speaking skills. So like with the lives, I could practice my public speaking skills. So like whatever I want to do, any creative outlet, any creative passion I have, I try to incorporate it with Playground. And I want to make Playground more than just a podcast. I want to make it like a brand, like a living brand. Like whenever people think of PK or like persona, they think he's the playground dude or whatever, like the playground boy, yeah, something like that. So like a brand, like an idea, rather than just one podcast.
That's so cool. And so it seems to be based upon this idea of like the inner child. And so I actually hadn't heard about this until I watched your podcast or listened to your podcast, and then I actually saw it on TikTok too, but in one of those psychology videos. But so I like kind of looked it up a little bit, and they said that it's something that you have to take care of in yourself as you grow older. Otherwise, it kind of like, I guess, leads to like bad behavior patterns and like mental health issues and things like that. So is that something that you thought about directly when creating this brand, or is it something that just kind of came up and somehow connects in a way?
So when I came up with a brand for Playground and like inner child, I primarily wanted it to, it kind of goes with the psychology. I was like, I read the psychology stuff like in the Medium articles, like back in freshman year. So like I was familiar with the concept. Sure. But I also wanted it to be because of like having fun and that play. So what I like I said before, like what I realized is that as we grow older, we tend to like forget what we liked as a child, or we tend to forget the inner child, and we get consumed by like adult responsibilities or like society's expectations for us. And I want to remind us that we should bring back that inner child, the creativity and the imagination back. And like after like I'd done the podcast, I saw like a little figure, like two adults, like I don't know if you saw this figure too, but it's like a picture of two adults like facing away from each other because they were like in an argument, but like they also had like the inner child inside of them like touching hands with each other. Like it shows that like the inner child is like, what does a child want? A child wants to have fun, to play, to be loved, to feel belonged. It's like very like simple needs, but like very basic needs that we tend to forget as we go older, and like we have like these insecurities, like it, like life gets complicated. So I wanted to just like bring back like that inner child, bring back what it meant to be a child, what it meant to have fun to our daily lives right now. And through that, I hope to like maybe have a transformation, maybe have a change in mindset, maybe have a change in perspective. But like that's what the brand is based upon. Yeah.
And do you see this podcast and the idea of Playground as a way to like reawaken your inner child as well?
Is that so? Definitely. So I have fun every time I have a conversation with someone on a podcast, and like for me, my inner child is mostly based on creativity and imagination. So I try to be very creative with the podcast, like with the designs, what I post on Instagram. Like I feel like I have a creative freedom, and I love that creative freedom. Like what I post on my stories, or like when I first released the podcast idea, I gave my audience like a hint, and it was like an emoji of a speaker. And in the comments, people thought I was releasing an album. So like I was able to be creative with that, like with the videos. Like when I released the podcast, I like started singing. Mm-hmm. And then after I sung, I was like, JK, like, just kidding. And then I was able to like get into something else. So I have fun with this. And this is like my own creative project. I feel like I'm in a playground when I do playground. So it helps me, it keeps mine and child alive very much. Yes.
And what would you say to someone who's trying to, I guess, regain this inner child, but are finding some difficulty in it or haven't even thought about it before?
I would say just take some moments and try to think back to your childhood and understand, like, try to think about what made you have fun, like genuine fun, like authentic fun. Like what did you do for fun when you were a child? What were you curious about when you were a child? And then ponder over that and then see, it's like, are you still curious about that right now? Or did you like forget about it? What happened to that curious thing that you were curious about? Like, and if you had forgotten about it, why did you forget about it? Like, is there any ways you could bring it back to what you're doing right now? It could be like a hobby or something very simple. Like every Sunday, like if you miss reading books, like as a child, if you love reading books, every Sunday night or something, you could like read a chapter or something. So like how to bring back like the things that made you have fun, genuinely just have fun, the things you do for fun, how to bring that back into daily life. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would suggest for people who haven't thought about like inner child.
It seems like this has a lot of ties to mental health as well, I would say.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Because like it started when I first had like some mental health issues freshman year, when like I felt like insecure and I felt like I was going through like a lot. So it first started there, and it does have like, if you want to like heal yourself in a way, this if you look at the inner child and if you want to heal yourself from mental health and mental health issues, you could use the inner child as a way to do that. So the inner child is definitely like one mechanism you could use.
So what do you see for yourself in the future, I guess, beyond building this idea of playground?
So I'm studying pre-med. I'm studying to become a doctor. Particularly, as of right now, I want to be a pediatric neurologist. So a doctor for children with autism and developmental disabilities. And so that also has to do with playground, because I love being with children. Mm-hmm. I love their creativity, their imagination. They just like how they approach life, and I want to be surrounded by them throughout my life. So being a doctor for children, I think that's like a good path for me. And especially with autism and Down syndrome, like developmental disabilities, learning disabilities, because I had friends throughout like kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, like my classmates who suffered from like, not suffered really, but like who had learning disabilities and stuff. And like they felt different. Like they felt like they were being ostracized by the class, or like doing recess, for example, they'd be by themselves, or like doing lunch, they'd be by themselves. So back then when I was like a little boy, I felt like I wanted to make them feel belonged in like that little group. I wanted them to feel loved. Mm-hmm. So I went up to them during recess. I went up to them during kindergarten, like during the lunch table, during lunch. Like I introduced myself. And then I was able to like create a friendship with them. And then throughout the years, we maintained that friendship. And so right now I'm talking about one girl who had Down syndrome, who was in my kindergarten class. Her name was Sydney. So like she was very lonely in recess and like during lunch. I noticed this, and I did some like, as a kid, like I wanted to make her feel happy. Like that's why I wanted to do this. So I made her feel happy. I introduced myself, and then we started having play dates like almost every day, and we became like best friends in kindergarten. So like that's when I realized, like, I think that's also has to do with playground and why I want to be a doctor. It's like we'll all like, if we all could approach life as if we were children, like what would you do if you're on a playground and a child like falls down, like scrapes their knee, like all the children will come and like, want to help them. Like the children have like an innate sense of like wanting to feel loved, like wanting others to feel belonged. And that's the kind of what I want to bring with the profession I do as a pediatric neurologist. And also like, hopefully I want to continue the podcast and like playground on the side as well. So continue both as we go up. Yeah.
That sounds amazing. It sounds like you have a lot of experiences that built up to this idea. What do you think is one or more things that you think you've learned throughout this time?
something I've learned from like doing the podcast and like doing these deep reflections is life is more than school, life is more than homework, life is more than extracurriculars, life is more than your resume. There's more to life than what you do for other people's expectations. And that's the part I want to live more. I don't want to live my life like in a cubicle, like something like that, like working for someone else, or like doing something for like because society wants me to do it. I want to do something because I want to do it. So what I've learned is living authentically, like always being my authentic self, and like always staying true to what I want to do, always staying true to my heart. So like if I feel like something I'm doing is like I don't want to do it, then I don't do it anymore. Or if I feel like if I'm doing it for my resume too much, I stop doing it, because I don't want to do things for other people's expectations. I want to do them because they make me happy. So what I've learned, like one life lesson I took from this is like every activity I do, every single thing I do like throughout the day, I make sure it gives me life. I make sure it gives me happiness. I make sure it connects with my true inner being rather than it connects with like other people's expectations of me, rather than it connects to like my social status or like how other people view me. I rather it connect with who I am, and if it gives me happiness, I'm gonna do it, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I've thought about that a lot, especially the thing that you were saying about how you felt like your freshman year was really focused on academics and like classes. I definitely felt that, and it was hard. I felt like I kind of like didn't care about other people's emotions as much, because I feel like it sounds like everything's supposed to be more focused on you and like being successful. But it's hard, I guess, because I also thought about how, I don't know, everyone comes to college and everyone like goes into every event with like a certain goal in their life, I feel like. And a lot of people say, you know, like, if I come to Emory, why am I coming here and why am I making my parents pay all of this money if I'm not gonna, you know, put my best foot forward? And I think that somehow that translates into, you know, not treating people as well, maybe, or being too focused on academics. So that seems like a really fine balance, I would say.
That's like what you mentioned there, like with the parents, like parents paying money and everything, that's society's pressure. That's like the pressure that makes us tend to forget why we're here, that makes us forget our inner child, in a sense, that makes us tend to forget our authenticity and like what makes us truly happy, because then we tend to like choose a major to make our parents happy, or choose something else to like make our parents happy and like make society happy because they're paying for our education to come here. But if we like try to change the perspective and do things that make you happy instead, then you'll be more like, the mental health will go up, everything will go up, your life will be easier, life will be more fun, and like you'll have fun with it, and like you'll live authentically, and like you feel like you're in a flow state. But at the same time, because it's very different, it's very difficult here, because if you like choose a major, like do something because it makes you happy, but like it doesn't make like your parents happy, then there's gonna be that disconnect. Exactly. But personally, I believe that you should take that risk. You should take that risk of making yourself happy rather than other people happy, because your life is like number one priority. That's my opinion. Like, I would rather do something to make me happy rather than make my parents happy, like society happy. And that's how I live my life, and I'm fine. And another thing I wanted to mention was, because of my experiences freshman year, that's why I came into residence life, that's why I'm an SA, that's why I'm an RA, and like I try to teach like this philosophy to my residents, in a sense. So that's kind of like, I don't want like my residents, like freshmen, to go through the exact same thing that I went through. So just like my way of giving back. And I want to do the same thing with a playground, like in a bigger scale, of course. So that's kind of like the reason why I started it too. So like people don't go through the same things I did.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I agree. I feel like it makes sense to do things that make you happy. But I guess personally for me, if I do something that I think that a lot of people don't support, I kind of get scared about you know, making the wrong decision just because you think that other people don't support you, so it might be a bad decision. I was wondering, do you feel that ever, or
feel it all the time? Yeah. So another thing I wanted to mention is, I'm not perfect. Like, I'm still growing through the process And like, I still make mistakes. I'm still very vulnerable. I still have like mental health issues. I still go down holes. I still come back up. Life is never a straight line. Life is always a wave. It's always like out of the place. So I do sometimes feel scared. Like when I like over the summer, when I decided to like spend more time on playground rather than studying for the MCAT or something like that. Mm-hmm. And like, it is a balance, but at the same time, I give myself grace in the sense that I give myself grace because if it makes me happy, like at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters to me. And it's hard to get that perspective. It's hard to get that mindset. And it's very scary to like take that first risk of doing something for yourself. And like everyone else is saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's your life. It's like you're the only person you should really listen to because it's your life. You're the one who's living it. You only have one life to live. So like if you do take that risk and like if like you suffer financially or like if you like other people like look down upon you but you're genuinely happy, hold on to that happiness. And like as you struggle more, you like if you hold on to the happiness, you like become a stronger person. You go to a transformation. You start like developing personally. You become a better person by taking that risk. And in my opinion, you'd be genuinely more happier. And like that's the end goal, and that's the end goal, like being more happy. And we have, and for me, you become more happier by being you, by being what you want to do, listening to your heart, and listening to your heart rather than what other people tell you to do.
I think like people say that the purpose of life is happiness. Just want to know, like, what do you think about that?
That's a good question. For me, I want to preface this question with a statistic that I've been recently thinking about a lot. Mm-hmm. The chances of you being you and me being me is like the chances of me being born and like me being a human is 1 in 400 trillion. If you like go into the statistics of like how you were born and like how you came to be, like me being like person over like this facial hair, these eyebrows, this eye, everything is like 1 in 400 trillion. So if you think of it like that, you already won like the lottery. You already won by being a human being, by being born. Like the chances of you being you is so slim that we tend to forget that statistic. And for me, the purpose of life is simply being grateful, being very grateful that you're alive, being very grateful that you are you, that you're human, that you already like. You already won the lottery. You already like won the lottery of life. You were born. I'm a human. I was born. I'm persona. I was that 1 in 400 trillion. And then like for the rest of my life, I'm gonna be grateful because I was born because I had a chance to live. It wasn't like someone else with a different eye color, like someone else with a different personality was in my position. It's me. So like keeping that statistic in mind, like for me, the purpose of life would then be every day being grateful for being alive, for that one chance, being that 1 in 400 trillion, being grateful for everything, being grateful. So the purpose of life, in my opinion, is happiness. But if you like dive into happiness, it's gratitude. So like being grateful for being alive, being grateful for like waking up every single morning, and that gratitude becomes the purpose of life. Because this is what I've read in like the Law of Attraction, in like those books, self-help books and everything, is right. If you feel a sense of gratitude, like all the negative emotions tend to go away. Because if you feel like you're grateful for like the experiences you experience, mm-hmm. the good and the bad, if you're grateful for being alive because you're that 1 in 400 trillion, like if you're thinking that macro level, mm-hmm. all those micro stuff that like tend to give you anxiety, tend to like make you stress, like organic chemistry, like biochemistry, like those problems, like Weinstein's test and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. they tend to like go away because you're thinking like, oh, I'm alive here. I had the opportunity to take this exam. I had the opportunity to be at Emory. Like, I'm like looking at your hands, like I'm alive. Like, like having that realization, like every single day, like having the realization often, I think it's the purpose of life because like being grateful for being alive is what I would say. And that gratitude eventually becomes happiness. Like, because you're so like grateful for like being alive, grateful for every single day, you're going to be happy. You're going to have these positive emotions. Like you're gonna live life like at a fuller fulfillment, fuller sense in a way to say, yeah.
Interesting. So going along with that, then do you think that there's any purpose to negative emotions?
Yeah, so this is a good question too. And I'm glad you asked this question. So like, I think many people like look at like positive gurus or like mentors and like, how do you say, like negative emotions is necessary. Negative emotions, like I only became like this because I had a negative downfall my freshman year with mental health. Because that's when I realized like, oh, I need to like change my perspective, and like I started being more grateful and everything. But I still get those negative emotions. And I think that, so my favorite artist is J. Cole, Jermaine Lamar Cole, J. Cole. And he, in one of his songs, Love Yours, he says, beauty in the struggle, ugliness in the success. So that's how I see like with negative emotions. Because of negative emotions, we get to feel the positive. Because we go through the downs in life, we get to experience and be grateful for the positive things in life. Like the negative emotions are necessary for us to live, because life is not a straight line. The negative emotions are necessary. And if you find, and like, in a sense, if you start becoming grateful, if you find the beauty in the struggle, if you start finding the beauty in the negative emotions, then you become like, you start to control your emotions rather than your emotions start to control you. And once you start to control your emotions, then you're basically in control of your life. Because if you could control like your emotions, like if I'm feeling sad, if I get a bad score on an exam, for example, and if I let the emotion of the bad score control me, then I'd be going down a hole for a couple of days, like asking myself, why did I get a bad score, like, and like reviewing it. But if instead I flip it and I start, if I become in control of my emotions, then okay, I'm going to feel this negative, it's going to happen, I can't change it, I can't control it, but I'm going to feel it, I'm going to embrace this negative, I'm going to find a beauty in it. And then if you embrace this negative emotions, then it usually it will still be there, and that's good because it has to be there. But if you embrace it, then you'll be able to like think in a different perspective. That for me, all life is a perspective, like changing in perspective. So once you begin to think in a different perspective, you're like, why did I do so bad? And then you're like, okay, next time I'll do better. And like you have these other thoughts, and like you're like, okay, I didn't understand this concept, like why I didn't understand this concept, and you start feeling those things. And so I think negative emotions are definitely necessary in life. And
so going along with that, you said that everything in life is basically about perspective. So do you think that it's hard to be someone with a different perspective on life, maybe a more positive perspective, or like a perspective that's more, you know, connected with their inner child? Do you think it's difficult to be like that around people who may not have the same perspective?
It's very difficult for me. So I'm also glad you asked this question, because whenever I am at Emory, or like whenever I'm like in the real world, like with individuals who don't have this perspective, I tend to like, I feel disconnected. And because I feel disconnected, I want to better myself. Like part of me wants to go and like change everyone's perspective, but I don't want to force anything on anyone else. Like I'm going to be who I am. That's why I kind of created like my own safe space in my room. So like whenever I come back to my room, I'll be able to like have this perspective. So I have like gratitude journals. I have like different journals on my desk, and like this room is like my space. So like when I create like my own environment, I feel like I'm happy, and like I always have this space, like this is mine, and I could like be my true authentic self feel. But like when I'm outside, like it does feel like, it feels like I'm alone. I felt lonely because I feel like I'm the only one with this perspective, but that's okay. Like, I don't want to like force this perspective on anyone else, or like I don't want to feel like I'm better than anyone else because I have this perspective. Like, we're all equal in that sense. So if I have a conversation with an individual, I have this conversation and I talk about my perspective. And if they are interested in the perspective, then yes, I like help them with it, and like I teach them like how I think and all that stuff. But if they're not perceptive to it, then I won't do anything, because I don't want to force anything. That's the last thing I want to do. I'd say like to the audience, always like two of my biggest values is gratitude and authenticity. So always try to be grateful for your life and try to live life authentically. So that those like my two messages.
Okay. That's amazing. Perfect. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Isha.
And that is the end of this episode. Thanks again to PK for being my guest and to you all for listening. Check out the Carpool Instagram at carpool.podcast and feel free to reach out with any feedback. Hopefully, I'll get my schedule on lock soon. I'll see you all next weekend.